Thank you to Swanson Health for sponsoring this week's podcast. Swanson Health is the only company to offer a full spectrum of wellness products for mind, body, and home. For quality vitamins and supplements to cruelty-free beauty items to eco-friendly home products, Swanson Health is here to keep you healthy. Swanson Health carries over 20,000 wellness products at a great value. Pick up your favorite healthcare products today, plus discover new ones for your wellness routine, all while leaving money in your pocket. If you want to try any of Swanson Health's great products for yourself, use code THRIVE20 for 20% off at swanson.com. So let's get into today's topic, how to heal after a breakup. I think that this is really important because if you don't know really the things that you should be doing, then you're not going to recover in a healthy way. And what I mean by that is we're still going to have dreams about this person. We're still going to be really sad. We could possibly be bitter, not really understand even possibly the lesson as to why this relationship is ending. So these are real things that we need to be mindful of doing while we are going through this process. You know, every breakup that you go through, oftentimes whether you ended the relationship, even if you took all of those months of really contemplating, does this relationship need to end? Am I ready for this relationship to end? I mean, most people don't abruptly end relationships. They've thought about it for a while and they've gotten to a point where they've kind of accepted that this probably isn't going to work. But there are still things that you're going to have to go through now that you are actually going through this breakup. There's detachment, there's pulling away from this person, life's changing. And even though sometimes we might be really excited that this relationship is ending, there are still a lot of processes to go through. Now, if someone has left you or abandoned you or broke up with you and your heart is broken, you know, you're really going through probably more stages since you didn't really get to this point on your own. You're being forced to get there. So you are feeling those feelings of real, true, you know, heartbreak, and you might feel very depleted by everything that's going on. And so you're definitely going to go through those stages of loss and grief and everything that all of us have to go through when we have ended a relationship. Many times, especially when someone leaves us and it's done in a very cruel, hurtful, you know, terrible way, then there are going to be feelings of, you know, unworthiness, or there could be some triggers that person has then brought out in you. For example, if someone abandons you and you already had that abandonment wound, because perhaps you have a little abandonment wound from perhaps mom or dad, then that's going to trigger it even more. You're going to often feel at times maybe that you are unattractive, again, unworthy, like I said before. So a lot of what we're going to go over today is a real process of learning how to love yourself and the rebuilding through what it is that you're going through. I think things like, you know, regaining your confidence and going through all of those stages of grief, whether it's shock or anger, or, you know, trying to work through the acceptance piece of it, forgiving, you know, is a really big one when it comes to heartbreak and going through a breakup, if that is something that you have to work through, whether someone left you or cheated on you or lied to you, or quite frankly, even if you're just really hurt and angry with a person for ending this relationship because you feel as though it came out of nowhere, when maybe perhaps this person again has been thinking about this for a long time. So we go through all of these kind of ups and downs in life, and a breakup is something that unfortunately we all have to go through, and heartbreak is something that we all have to feel. So one of the first things that I always suggest to people is, in order to really go through this process and be healthy through this process, is you have to allow yourself to feel. So we are not suppressing. We are not shaming ourselves for feeling the way that we're feeling. We're going to validate all of our feelings. We're not going to say stories to ourselves like, why do I still feel this way? It's been months now and I'm still upset and I'm still crying. We're not going to do any of those things. We're going to learn how to have a healthy inner dialogue. And where a healthy inner dialogue actually starts is with the validation piece. Being able to really validate yourself and allow yourself to feel is one of the healthiest things that you can begin to do for yourself. We're not going to deny those feelings. We're not going to suppress them. We're just going to allow them to be. We're going to give ourselves the space to let them come out, to let them, you know, to let ourselves express them just like we would with our best friend or our children or someone that we really love and care about. If someone that we knew was hurting, we would never say to them, "Don't cry. Why are you crying? Why do you still feel this way?" Especially when you can really see and feel the sadness that this person is actually experiencing. At that point, you will step into empathy and allow that space for someone to feel what it is they need to feel. You might perhaps give them a hug. You might, you know, just touch their leg or touch their shoulder and just let them know through that gentle touch that you are here for them and that everything's okay. So those are all the nurturing abilities or qualities that we're able to give our friends and family, right? And oftentimes we just don't give them to ourselves. So this is a very mindful practice of allowing yourself to feel. Now, with allowing ourselves to feel, there are many feelings that are going to come up, and one feeling in particular could possibly be anger. And this is where we are angry at this person for doing what they did. We're angry at this person for, you know, basically causing this destruction in our lives, for change, for creating this change now that's going to start to happen, and we're angry about it. This isn't the route that we wanted to go. It's not what we wanted to have happen, but unfortunately it's happening. And so at times we begin to blame the other person for doing what it is that they did or for just ending the relationship in general. We begin to, especially when you're going through something like cheating and things like that, we begin to question, you know, every intention that this person had throughout the course of our relationship. You know, was it real? And you know, did this person really love me? And how could they do this? And, you know, I thought we were going to be together forever. And again, sometimes this has to do with narcissistic relationships and sometimes it doesn't. You know, people do fall out of love. So that feeling of anger is one that, of course, we need to validate, but we need to understand really who is actually experiencing the anger. Usually the anger is coming from our ego, and usually underneath all of that anger is just really those feelings of sadness and disappointment that what we wanted to happen is now no longer happening. Now, if we don't have control over the anger and if we don't really know where the anger is coming from, then we're going to attach to the anger as if it is our own true feelings, and we're going to react. This is where we begin to become bitter. This is where we become explosive. This is where we begin to, you know, not want to speak to the person. We begin to make things very, very difficult. And now here's the thing, when you're going through a breakup, especially if you're going through, like, say, for example, a long-term relationship or possibly a divorce that you're now going to go through, and children are involved and money's involved, it can get messy. It's a messy thing to go through. And so these feelings of anger are one that could stay with you for a while. It's not an easy process to just sit here and say, okay, let's experience anger and recognize that it's ego and let us just, you know, move through it in a gentle way. I don't think that's realistic, but I do think that it is. What I'm basically trying to say is let's work on being mindful of these things and not allowing ourselves to just react emotionally to everything. Let's have a little bit of self-control to understand why it is that we're feeling what it is that we're feeling. Let's start to bring a little bit more logic to this situation versus being very overly emotional, where we can stay stuck in one of these places for a very long time, and that's when we don't truly heal. You know, everyone, you hear this phrase often, time heals all wounds. And I really do believe that, but I really do believe that that space and that time that you are given, while it can heal, the only way you actually heal is what you do during that time. I'm sure we've all met and known many people who have gone through something terrible in their life, whether it was a divorce or someone left them or what have you, treated them badly, and they carried that anger, those feelings around for a very long time. And possibly it even really destroyed them. And so learning how to heal is something that is hugely beneficial. Now, one thing that I think sometimes people can often feel, and again, it depends on the situation, but is real feelings of hopelessness, real feelings of deep sadness. You know, we might dip into some depression, we might dip into some real severe anxiety. And a lot of the times we're feeling this deep sadness, we're feeling this depression because something is ending, because something is changing, because we felt very safe in our lives that what was happening, this marriage, this relationship, this family dynamic, this friendship, whatever it was, in our minds, wasn't going to end. And even if we weren't happy and we possibly thought at times, what if this didn't work out? We still had the comfort of that person physically being in this relationship. And now that that's changing, we might start to, you know, and a lot of things are changing, you know, circle of friends is changing, you know, there's no longer, we go to his or her house for holidays and there's no in-laws and there's no, his mother calls me and we do this. And, you know, I'm really close with his sister or her brother or his brother, you know, all of those things start to really change. And when that happens, that depression can really become something that's real. That real deep sadness can absolutely be there. And the reason why we tend to feel that depression is because we're telling ourselves a story that what was supposed to happen was X, Y, and Z. And when life begins to not mirror what we thought was going to happen, we feel that deep sadness. We feel that those true feelings of disappointment, right? And this is where the grief begins to happen. And if we're not grieving in a healthy way, which is, let's monitor those inner conversations. I always say that, you know, we can talk about the four steps of this and how to rebuild yourself and all that stuff, but everything you do has to do with your self-dialogue. Your inner conversations are going to determine whether or not you can heal from something, whether or not you move through something in a healthy way, whether or not you feel depression, whether or not you feel sadness. That's just the name of the game. So until you really can hone in on those conversations and take responsibility for the stories that you tell yourself that are causing you to have the feelings that you have, then, you know, you're never going to really feel that true sense of, I can take care of myself. I know how to take care of myself mentally and emotionally. I think it's a huge skill that everyone needs to begin to practice. But getting back to what we're talking about, you know, depression can absolutely really mask those feelings of fear, you know, fear of the unknown, fear of, or just those feelings of disappointment, like we had said. Another huge step towards allowing yourself to feel is also giving yourself the space to start accepting a little bit of what's actually happening. I think, especially in the beginning, when someone just abruptly leaves you or a breakup happens, you're in a huge phase of denial. You know, it just doesn't seem real to you. And you might wake up in the middle of the night or wake up in the morning and it still doesn't seem real. It still seems like a dream. And I remember distinctively those days and weeks of feeling like I was in a dreamlike state, not knowing, is this reality? Is this, or is this something I'm dreaming? And it was really confusing for, you know, definitely a few days and definitely a few weeks where I felt like I didn't really know what was real and what wasn't. It seemed so bizarre that this was actually happening. And I think you mostly feel those feelings when a breakup comes out of absolutely nowhere, where you really didn't see something coming. If you are going through, you know, moments in your relationship where things aren't great, you might kind of see it coming, maybe, or maybe you've both, you know, thrown out the D word or threatened the breakup or said things maybe that you didn't maybe mean but did mean, and, you know, all of those things, then you can kind of understand, okay, this person hasn't really felt like they've been happy for a while, and I've seen this person start to distance themselves from me. But I really think even in those moments, you tend to not think that this is something that could possibly happen to you. But I do think starting to understand and finally get out of those really dark places of that depression and that almost really not accepting something, you start to kind of, as you begin to work through all of those feelings and you start to, again, as time goes on, you start to slowly accept, okay, it's just me for dinner now.
and it's just me when I get home from work, and starting to kind of create those new routines and that new life just being by yourself. You know, I always say when you're going through this process, I mean, friends and family are probably one of the biggest things that you could possibly have around you just to help you keep your sanity, whether it's therapy, whether it's a counselor, whether it's chat rooms, whether it's anything that possibly feels empowering and helpful and, you know, keeps your hopes up in the midst of that Tuesday night at 2 a.m. waking up with anxiety because your whole world is crumbling down. I think this is where the internet is a great thing. This is where you can, you know, chat with someone at 2 a.m. or read an article that really keeps you in that hopeful, loving, mindful place to keep going forward, and that this is just a moment in time and you will get through this, whether it's the quotes on Pinterest, whether it's watching a YouTube video, whether it's listening to a podcast, whether it's calling a friend and hopefully they pick up at 2 a.m. I think all of these things, going to therapy once a week, whatever it is that works for you, is something that you need to be able to give yourself, because these are the times when you can't do it all alone and you shouldn't be able to do it all alone. So whether you have family that you can rely on or not, there are so many other resources out there to keep that hope going, that faith going, that again, this is just a moment of time and you will get through this. The next thing that is hugely important when you are going through a breakup, and again, we kind of touched on this briefly, but when you come home and you recognize, okay, it's just dinner for me now, there is great power in the alone time that you begin to have. You know, this is where you really start taking care of yourself. Here we go, emotionally, mentally, physically, and spiritually. Like, this is where maybe perhaps when it first happened, we weren't eating, we weren't sleeping, we weren't exercising, we weren't enjoying, you know, friends and family, we weren't laughing, we were in those real feelings of sadness. But if you can really be honest with yourself, even in the moments of real grief that we go through, whether it is, you know, even losing a loved one, there are moments of a laugh. There are moments of a chuckle. You will laugh again. Something will be funny again. So learning how to not allow yourself to always sit in that sadness. You know, I always say the healthiest thing is being able to feel what you need to feel, but not living in that space. So giving yourself, I don't want to say a time frame, but giving yourself a moment to say, okay, enough now. I need to get up and I need to start taking care of myself, whether that's exercising, eating right, taking a shower today, you know, cleaning my sheets, just cleaning the house, just even those tiny, tiny small goals are what you need to do to begin to help yourself to be in a better mindset so you can really get through some of the stuff that you're going through, whether it's being in nature and, like I said, eating better, I don't want to say cutting your hair and dyeing it a completely different color, but, you know, giving yourself a little boost, especially when someone leaves you, or even if you did leave the relationship, you tend to sometimes, I don't want to say lose yourself in relationships. I don't think that can be the case, but this is really your time. This is a time of reinvention. This is a time of rebuilding. And so giving yourself that little bit of a makeover and buying new clothes and making yourself feel better, you know, looking better and feeling better go hand in hand. You know, when you have physical exercise and your body's looking great, you feel great. When, you know, you put a little bit of makeup on and you feel like, okay, you know what? I feel good today by that. That's something, that's self-care. That's something that you're doing for yourself. You know, as you begin to take care of yourself and the self-care piece is so extremely important, one of the other things that I think most people really forget is now that this is your time, when you reinvent yourself, what does that look like? It's not just about buying, you know, the new wardrobe. It's also about examining your every aspect of your entire life. You know, I always give all of my clients what's called the wheel of life. And if you Google it, if you just type in wheel of life and coaching, you'll see what I mean. And it's basically every area of your life is always changing. So you have your finances, your work life, your friendships, your personal life, your social life. You have entertainment, you have your home environment, and there's a few others. But if you But if you look at each area of your life, you should always be rating each area from 1 to 10. See what areas, and be honest with yourself, what areas are really suffering right now? Is it your social life? Is it your physical body? Is it your health? What areas really, really need your attention? Perhaps work is going great and that's not an area that's suffering right now. Perhaps your social life is suffering and that's something that you need to focus on. How can we begin to cultivate new friendships? How can we begin to cultivate traveling and going on trips? What is it that you really want for your life right now? Asking yourself these types of questions allows you to start setting goals for yourself and start working towards those goals. Because if we have a goal and we're working towards it and we're making progress, that progress is what allows you to have or rebuild that confidence that you need in yourself to keep taking steps forward. So as we set goals, as we begin to reinvent ourselves, as we begin to gain confidence, that's when we start to really feel better. So I hope that this has helped anyone out there. You guys, thank you guys so much for all of your love and support. I cannot thank you enough. I am so incredibly blessed that I have this platform to really help, you know, motivate, teach, inspire people from all around the world. Never in a million years would I think that this would be where I am, but I am so internally grateful for everything that you guys have helped me to achieve. And I'll tell you, a lot of what I have been able to achieve has come through going through difficult situations. So this is why I say this is a moment in time and you can rebuild yourself into having the life that you actually always wanted to have, even though you didn't know what it was going to look like. So again, I hope that this has helped you and inspired you in some way, and I will speak to you soon.